I had these bhajans also at that time, translated by Achyutananda, and I also liked them. But I did not find how to sing them until 1981 when I came to Vrindavan. So we're going to be... These verses, these 12 verses to the mind are like a mission statement. They, I rank them right underneath Shikshastika in terms of relevance in a devotee's life. They contain like a mission statement, what you should think of, what you should avoid, to give a goal in life of a devotee. Therefore, because of that, because of its being like a mission statement, I was inspired to memorize them. And since 1981, I've been chanting them every morning. As soon as I wake up and I finished cleaning my tongue, then I start to sing these verses. And these verses are very powerful and they help fix the mind. What you should remember, what you should forget, and what you should concentrate on. The first seven verses are very relevant for devotees that are struggling in righty bhakti, struggling to control the mind, the senses, and fix the mind on Krishna. Therefore, for this course, we're going to spend the majority of the days discussing the first seven because they're of practical relevance to our present advancement. The rest of it, verses 8, 9, 10, and 11, are basically situated in Raga Marga for those devotees who have attained Nishtha platform and beyond, become steady devotees, and are developing a strong sense of ruchi for Srimad Bhagavatam and a strong hankering for their eternal relationship with Krishna. This is after the anarthas are gone, when devotees are no longer attached to enjoying sensual, fleeting sensual pleasures of the material body, and when one is gradually becoming disgusted and disengaged from the material body, then the verses 8 through 11 will have stronger significance for you. In the meantime, when you sing those verses, you will have to offer obeisances from folded hands from afar, because certainly we're not on that platform. So for the first, I just want to mention here on page number one was a... Is the mic is not on?
It's on.
All right. Anyway, you can't hear. You can't hear? Because of the panka, maybe? All right, you can sit here. You guys can sit closer if you have difficulty. I just want to try to remember your... in the next 20 days, I want to try to remember your faces nicely. All right, so now if you look on page 1 of your booklet, it mentions here the day sequence. I would like to mention to you that this sequence has been changed. Note that this, we're going to follow this sequence all the way up to day number 13. On day 14, 15, 16, we'll do verse number 8, and day number 15 we'll do verse number 9, day number 16 we'll do verse number 10, and day number 17 we'll do verse number 11, and possibly 12. From day 2 until day 13, we are going to do a verse covered in 2 days, because they're quite important, up to verse 7. After verse 7, which will start on day 14, we will do verse 8, and then 15 we'll do verse 9, and 16 we'll do verse 10, 17 we'll do verse 11, and 18 we'll do verse 12. Then on the 19th day of the course, we'll give the examination. And then on the 20th day, I will have graded the test and we will hand it back to you, and then we'll discuss what you got out of the course and feedback, you know, how to improve it, etc., etc. Right? Because we only have 20 courses, 20 days. I thought I had a little bit more. I thought I had 22, but looks like it's only 20. So this is how we're going to break up the 20 days in this course. So there's a, so you can write in your booklet the adjustment. Now, first business is what we're going to do is we're going to sing in the morning when we first get in. We're going to sing all these Sanskrit verses. No problem, sit down. Later on, one of the persons can show you what we just mentioned. We just mentioned the schedule of the classes. How we're going to do it. We're adjusting. We're saving 2 days at the end of the course. So somebody can mention it to you later when you came in. Shlokas number 8 through shlokas number 12, we're going to adjust those 1 day at a time. And the end. The rest of the verses from verse number 1 to verse number 7 will be taken up 2 days for one verse to give a further elaboration on the verse. Format will be every day we're going to, when we first get in, try to get in early on time tomorrow, because starting tomorrow we're going to sing the verses, all 12 Sanskrit shlokas. We're going to learn how to sing them. For the first couple of days we're going to have to sing them in responses, like I sing one line and you sing one line, etc., until I see that you become comfortable. When you become comfortable, we will all just sing it together. This way, after 20 days of singing all the verses, they should pretty well ring in your ears pretty good. All these verses. These verses are very ecstatic, and I recommend them for memorization because they are a mission statement. They're very wonderful. Then, according to the day, whatever verse we're in, we will sing the respective bhajan. There's a Bengali bhajan in the back, respective bhajan that Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written for each shloka. Today we're going to sing the introductory bhajan. And because today is the introduction, so we're going to sing the introductory bhajan and then discuss it. In this way, there's about 3 different tunes that I know for these bhajans. So instead of chanting Jaya Radha Madhava and like that, and then we will chant, sing the bhajan according to the bhajan that is under discussion, the verse, the bhajan that corresponds with the verse under discussion. So after singing all the Sanskrit verses, then we will sing, we will read the English translation of the verse that is under discussion. Then we will sing the bhajan of the corresponding verse and read its translation. By this time, chanting all the Sanskrit, reading the translation of the verse under discussion, and the bhajan under discussion with its translation, this should set your brain pretty good. Now, it's expected that I would like you to read, like for tomorrow, read verse number 1. Read verse number 1 in the booklet, in the Manashiksha book, which every one of you has, right? You have one of these books? Okay. Read that tomorrow and make sure that you're ready for it, ready for discussing it. Now, you should also, when you read it, you should write down if you have any particular questions or anything you'd like to discuss in free forum about any specific topic. Our time for discussion will be quite limited. Actually, they've only given me 1 hour, and 1 hour is pretty small for discussing these points. So I may have to limit you. Of course, I am available after class for further discussions and elaboration. And afterwards, I'll have many notes, which later on I can give these students from Chaitanya Charitamrita, from other Shastras, elaborating further on these points within this book, in case you'd like it for your own study later on, further notes of elaboration. Because 1 hour will now have enough time to discuss it. Yes. Manashiksha. Significance is the goal of life. What is to be done? What is not to be done? And how to develop the goal of life? Prema Bhakti. So that's what we're going to discuss it today in this introduction. In this introduction, Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes a little bit about it. Gives you a little hint about this. So if you read the ahead of time, you can make your own notes and own questions, some things which you would like to be clarified. And then according to what the students want to be clarified, we can elaborate more. And other things that are understood by you. Because the book, the commentary by Bhaktivinoda Thakur is quite clear in itself. You may not need to discuss it. It may be perfectly crystal clear for you. So if that, then it means that whatever the points of discussion which you would like to discuss, we can elaborate more. And those points which are clearly understood, we won't need to go over it. That doesn't mean that I'm not going to ask you something brief in an examination paper at the end. No, I may ask it. But if the point is crystal clear, why should we need to discuss it? Because our time is short. Is that clear? Huh? All right. So do read each. I'll mention to you at the end of class which one you should read, but it should be quite clear. That tomorrow you read shloka number one. Bhajan number one, and the commentary for shloka number one. This way, you prepare yourself for what you would like to discuss tomorrow. Take your own notes like that. And relish it. Hope you relish it. So, now, I'll try to give 10 minutes of time at the end, before our time ends. Our time ends at 3:50, right? So, okay, so by 3:40, I'll try to stop for questions, additional questions pertaining to the topic. Try to keep questions pertaining to the topic, and we'll leave that available also. And in addition to that, if there's any further questions, well, then after class, I'll be available. I'll make myself available outside the door for any of you to try to satisfy you to the best of my ability. Singing the Sanskrit verses should take only about 10 minutes in the morning. And the bhajan should be about another 10 minutes. Like that. In this way, I hope that you'll be enlivened by this book and these bhajans by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Now, before we get into the introductory bhajan, is there any questions first? This introductory bhajan will describe the introduction of this text. So, is there anything which needs to be made clear before we proceed? All right. Okay. Now let's start singing the first bhajan. Is there any kartals? Where? In the box. I'm sorry. Okay. Open up to page number 8, which is the introductory bhajan. Everybody have one of these? Open up to page number 8. Rajadama Nitya Dhana Radha Krishna Dvijana. Rajadama Nitya Dhana Radha Krishna Dvijana. Lila Vishaya Katanu Hoya. Lila Vishaya Katanu Hoya. Dhamma Saha Goda Deshe Prakata Hailo Eshe. Dhamma Saha Goda Deshe Prakata hailo eshe nija nitya parishadha loya. Nija nitya parishadha loya. Man tumi satya bole jano. Mana tumi satya bole jano. Yavadvipa gaura hari nama sankirtana kodi. Premamrita gode khailo dhana. Premamrita goilo khailo dhana. Sanya serla cholo kori nila chala se hari. Sanya serla cholo kori nila chala se hari. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Jatishwara. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Jatishwara.
Damodara Damananda Loya Kodi Parananda Damodara Damananda Loya Kodi Parananda Guda Tattva Janaya Vishtara Guda Tattva Janaya Vishtara Raghunatha Se Tattva Shikaya Paramrita Pataya Shiru Perakache Sridasa Goswami Braje Rupa Saha Krishna Bhaje Mana Shiksha Shloka Likhiyache Mana Shiksha Shloka Likhiyache Tahara Dasera Das Hoyte Jara Borayas E Bhakti Vinodaya Kinchana Mana Shiksha Bhashya Gai Jata Shuddha Bhakta Pai Doya Kori Kori Nasha Bhana Rajadama Nitya Dhana Radha Krishna Dvijana Dila Vishaya Kathanu Hoya
Read the translation.
Introductory Bhajan translation. In Sri Goloka Vrindavan, the couple Sri Sri Radha Krishna, for Lilananda, the two combine with the same eternal realm, has manifested in Gaudadesh. With their associates they do reside. O mind, you know this truthful speech inside. In Navadvip, Gauda Hari, Lord Chaitanya, by Sri Nam Sankirtan, flooded Bengal with the gift of nectarine prema. When he went to take sannyas, residing in Sri Jagannath, Sri Chaitanya, the Lord of all sannyasis, Damodar and Ramananda, stayed with him in great ananda. They understood supremely confidential truths. Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, from them, learned the highest goals, and he spoke them with Sri Rupa Goswami. Das Goswami in Vrindavan, in Sri Rupa's company, worshipped Krishna. The Mana Shiksha in Sanskritam did clad. His servant, who is greatly so desirant, the materially desireless Bhaktivinoda Thakur, seeing this Mana Shiksha commentary, which is obtained from the pure devotees, allow your ears to hear the same.
Nice bhajan, nice introduction. So, as per the introduction of this book, where it's mentioned about the history of Raghunath Das Goswami, you can take your time tonight to read this life sketch. Raghunath Das Goswami is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's eternal associate who is our Prayojana Acharya, who shows the goal of life, how to attain the goal of life. That goal of life is attained by intense endeavor and devotion with a crying sense of greed to obtain it. And to do so, one has to become completely detached from the nature of this material world. And Raghunath Das Goswami personified that in his life, how he manifested the highest degrees of renunciation and very deep attachment to the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna in Vrajadhamma. So his example is very highly exalted. It mentioned about his literary achievements in the introduction, the books that he wrote, Stavavali, containing glorifications of Govardhan, and he wrote Dan Keli Chintamani, taking inspiration of Rupa Goswami's Dankeli Leela, Dankeli Komadi. And he also wrote Mukta Charita, describing the pastime where Krishna sowed pearls. This happened in a place very close to Radhakund called Maliharikund, where this pearl pastime started. And the pastime drifts towards Suryakund and another place is also in Braj. So he wrote many different wonderful works. And this work stands in terms of giving shiksha for devotees. This work is probably one of his most outstanding of the things that Raghunath Das Goswami wrote. Now, getting to the bhajan, first of all, from the very beginning, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is clarifying in the bhajan that Braja Dhamma Nitya Dana Radha Krishna Dui Jana Lile Veshe Akathana Hoya. In Sri Vrindavan Dham, the divine couple of Radha Krishna have their amazing Leela. Along this supreme Dham of Vrindavan has descended in Bengal, in Navadvip. And along with their eternal associates, they descend. Among the six Goswamis, the two eternal associates are Rupa and Raghunath, and the others became. Srila Prabhupada describes it in one letter to my god sister Jadarani in 1971, that the others became by association. Once you enter the eternal associates of the Lord, then everyone becomes Nitya Leela, Nitya Leela Pravishta. They become Nitya Mukta after entering. So the Lord's pastimes in Vrindavan Dham are portrayed to, along with the eternal associates that descend with the Lord, to attract other souls that get scooped up in the waves of ecstasy of that service. And those fortunate souls who get swept up in the association of the eternally liberated souls become eternally liberated later by the grace of those eternally liberated souls. They're trained up. This is described more elaborately in Brihad Bhagavatamrita by Srila Sanatana Goswami, that progression, how the living entities become liberated. So it says here, Nitya Nijanatya Parishada Loya. So, my dear mind, please try to understand the truth of this. This is also described in one bhajan. It says, Gaurangera Sange Gani Nitya Siddha Kuri Mani Se Hoi Braja Bhumi Vas. In that bhajan, which is a favorite of our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, but if you understand that the associates of Navadvip are eternal, then you actually reside in Vrindavan. So Gauranga Mahaprabhu appeared in Navadvip with all of his major associates in Krishna Leela appeared, according to Gaur Ganadesh Deepika. They all appeared with Gauranga in different ways to assist him in his Nam Sankirtan pastimes. So the next part of the bhajan goes on to state, Navadvipa Gaura Hari Nama Sankirtana Kori Premamrita Gauri Khoilo Dhan. This is the external reason for Lord Chaitanya's descent. The external reasons for Lord Chaitanya's descent are very nicely clarified by Krishnadas Kaviraj in the third chapter of Adi Leela. Lord appeared at the time of the, for setting the example, the Yuga Dharma, for propagating the Dharma of the age, to flood Bengal with the chanting of Hare Krishna. This is basically starts in Adi Leela, chapter 3, verses 15. It said where Gauranga Mahaprabhu is being quoted. Krishna is being quoted by Krishnadas Kaviraj describing the reasons for his external descent. So he does so to propagate Nam Sankirtan, by which he will make Krishna Prema available for the living entities. And he will take on the form of a devotee himself and teach devotional service by applying it himself. He said, whatever actions a great man does, common men follow in his footsteps. And Krishna says that I have to demonstrate it myself, this process of devotional service. By seeing how I will present it, they will follow. This is described very nicely in this Adi Leela, chapter 3. These are the external reasons why he appears. So this verse, Navadvip Gora Hari Nam Sankirtana Gori Premamrita Gori Koilodhan, that he will flood Bengal with Hari, with Prema by Hari Nam Sankirtan. This is the external reason why Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descends. And this is the mood that Srila Prabhupada personally distributed throughout ISKCON, is focusing on that external reason why Gornatai descend and give mercy. Because that's the nature of Vaidhi Bhakti and the nature of new devotees. They should focus on that. Then, by the purification arising from that, absorption and Lord Chaitanya's mood of preaching and distributing the holy name, when the heart becomes purified by chanting Harinam sufficiently, and by hearing and chanting, as described in the first canto, second chapter, verse number 17. Shanvatam svakata krishna punya shavana kirtana hridyantasto yabhadrani vidunoti saritsatam. All the troublesome things in the heart become destroyed by shravanam kirtanam. So because shravanam kirtanam is so important, therefore Mahaprabhu distributed it on the street. That is for everybody. Chanting Hare Krishna is for everyone. Those who become fortunate by taking the purification of that will associate with the devotees and become attracted to take up devotional service practically in their lifetime. To the extent that they apply it, then they will become qualified for more. So thus, the internal reasons for Gauranga's descent are not known by the common public. Even in some sampradayas like the Madhvas, they consider Gauranga to be nothing but a great devotee. They don't consider him to be the Supreme Lord himself, because they can only focus on the external aspects of Gauranga Mahaprabhu's manifestation. They're unable to understand his divine nature. They can accept that maybe he's a Shakyavesha avatar or some greatly empowered person, but they don't consider him to be Krishna himself. Some Vaishnavas even consider. So mainly the public at best can understand Mahaprabhu's external descent. So to the extent that the devotees are attached to Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, preaching and purifying the heart by hearing and chanting Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting the Hare Krishna mantra in the company of devotees, they qualify themselves to understand more deeply within themselves the internal reasons for Gauranga's descent. So the next thing is, Sanyasera Cholokodi Nila Chalase Hari Sri Krishna Chaitanya Chatishwar. When Mahaprabhu took sannyas, he did so externally to try to trick all the aparadis to surrender to him, because in those days they were inclined to offer obeisances to a sannyasi. Therefore he took sannyas to try to rope in all the aparadis into serving him and accepting the Nam Sankirtan mission. At the same time, he set the highest standards of behavior for a sannyasi in terms of remaining externally detached from the material world and absorbing in bhajan. Mahaprabhu showed the example how to behave in the renounced order in his social dealings with other devotees in Puri. And those sections of Chaitanya Charitamrita help to refine our cultural understanding. They help to, along with Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita helps to further refine the heart culturally of a devotee. So, and these principles that Gauranga relished were personally witnessed by Raghunath Das Goswami directly. His Gauranga's renunciation, etc. And Gauranga personally approved of Raghunath Das's renunciation and tapasya. That is described in Antya Leela, chapter 6. How Raghunath Das Goswami met Gauranga Mahaprabhu. How Gauranga Mahaprabhu first told him to go back into his household life. Don't give it up whimsically, like a monkey's renunciate, but wait for the time when Krishna gives you more mercy. Then he went back and Nityananda Prabhu came, and he served Nityananda Prabhu with the Panihati Chiradahi Utsav. I'm sure many of you, anybody not familiar with that? That's there in the Chaitanya Charitamrita in the same section, Antya Leela. How then Nityananda Prabhu became pleased by Raghunath Das's seva, and Raghunath Das fell at his feet and Raghav Pandit's feet after giving donations to all of them, saying, please be kind, give me some mercy that I can achieve the shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Nityananda Prabhu blessed him. After Nityananda Prabhu blessed Raghunath Das, then his attaining the lotus feet of Gauranga was assured. This is also confirmed by Narottam Das Thakur, who prays to Nityananda that without your mercy, Gauranga Mahaprabhu will not be achieved. So it's significant to note that when Raghunath Das met Gauranga personally, Gauranga at first told him, don't be so greedy and eager to renounce in an improper way. Go back to your house. That after some time, Krishna will give you brains how to renounce in a proper way. Just go back and act like a first-class materialist. That was not satisfactory to Raghunath Das. So, although he followed the Lord's order, when he got Nityananda Prabhu's mercy, then his attaining the shelter of Gauranga Mahaprabhu in Puri became a reality by the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. So, it's a very great example of how Nityananda Prabhu's mercy was crucial for Raghunath Das to get. Also, Jiva Goswami also approached Nityananda Prabhu and fell at his feet, begging for permission to go to Vrindavan. And Nityananda Prabhu readily gave it, saying, Gauranga has blessed all of your family members to go to Vrindavan. Like this. So in this way, by Nityananda's blessings, even Jiva Goswami obtained great fortune. So no one can discount the blessings of Nityananda Balaram in this case. So Shri Krishna Chaitanya Jatishwar, Mahaprabhu's pastimes in Puri show the pinnacle of separation from Krishna, the mood of Radharani in separation from Krishna, and the highest example that a renunciate has to perform if he wishes to please Krishna. Now it mentions here, Damodara Ramananda Loya Kodi Parananda Guru Tattva Janaya Bishtar. Then in Jagannath Puri, when Raghunath Das went there, then it mentions in the Gauranga Stavakopa Vriksha by Raghunath Das Goswami in his Stavavali that when I arrived there in Puri, he said, then I was handed over to Swarup Damodar, Swarupero Raghunath, they called him, the Raghunath of Swarup, to become his chela, his disciple. And when Gauranga Mahaprabhu said, here is this boy Raghunath, he is your property. When he said that, Raghunath Das Goswami was put into ecstasy by hearing this, that Gauranga Mahaprabhu was putting him under the direct shelter of his personal secretary. Raghunath Das Goswami was so submissive to the principle of disciplic succession that if he ever wanted to make a statement to Gauranga, he did so through his guru, Swarup Damodar. He would not approach directly. So submissive he was. Even though actually in terms of age, Raghunath was not much younger than Gauranga. He appeared roughly in 1494, like that. He was like 8 years younger than Gauranga in age. But Raghunath was always very humble and meek in his mentality. Even though there was not much difference in terms of age between Raghunath Das Goswami and Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So Damodara, Swarup Damodar, mentions that Ramananda Roy, when Krishna, in the internal reasons for Lord Chaitanya's descent, in Adi Lila chapter 4, it mentions there that when Krishna felt separation from Radhika in Vrindavan, then his friend Subal, who was a Priya Narmasaka, used to give solus to Krishna and cheer him in different ways. In this way, remove the pain of separation Krishna had from Radharani. In the same way, Ramananda Roy would soothe Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was in separation from the mood of Radharani. When he was in the mood of Krishna, in separation from Radharani, then Ramananda Roy would help him, would help Mahaprabhu by quoting relative verses, etc., cheer him. At the same time, when Radharani was in separation from Krishna, her confidante Lalita, which is glorified in verse number 9 of this Manashiksha, gave unparalleled help to Srimati Radharani to mitigate her separation from Krishna. So in the same way, Swarup Damodar served Lord Chaitanya when he would be in the mood of Radharani's mood of separation from Krishna. Swarup Damodar Goswami helped by quoting and singing specific songs and verses that coordinated with Gauranga Mahaprabhu's various ecstasies. This is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. in various places. So these two associates, Swarup Damodar Goswami, who was the spiritual master of Raghunath Das, and Ramananda Roya, together their confidential discussions are about the highest goals of life, which generally common men did not discuss with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They are highly confidential topics of Raga Marga, which only very few deserving devotees obtain. These tattva, Raghunath Das Goswami learned these tattva in their associates, this confidential nature of understanding Mahaprabhu's deeper ecstasies and the path of Raga Marga. Raghunatha learned that truth from them, Swarup Damodar, Ramananda Roya, in the presence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. And when, after the departure of his gurus, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Swarup Damodar from the planet, Raghunath Das Goswami went to Vrindavan, and he explained those, discussed those on and on in the company of Rupa. And because Rupa Goswami had also attained Gauranga's association in Puri and had achieved Mahaprabhu's mercy by understanding Mahaprabhu's mind, Raghunath Das Goswami, the points that he learned from Swarup and Ramananda Roy, they discussed it with Rupa, and they augmented each other. Although it is considered to be that Raghunath Das Goswami considers himself in Vrindavan to be the follower of Rupa Goswami. He himself considers himself to be Rupa's follower. So, Pataila Srila Parakache, and he spoke this, what he learned from Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Roy in the company of Rupa Goswami. They discussed it together, and by their mutual friendly association, they deeply dove in the ecstasies. An example of this is when Rupa gave him, when he gave him some verses, books like Lita Madhava, Nataka, etc. Raghunath would read that. Then in separation from Krishna, he would feel like his life was breaking in devastating anxiety. So much so in separation, the books made him so sad in separation from Krishna. Some people were thinking that Raghunath was ready to give up his body. Hearing this, Rupa Goswami took back the book and said, I need to edit it, so let me have it back. He took it back and he gave him Don Kali Komadi. By reading Don Kali Komadi about the Don Leela that goes on at Krishnavedi there at Govardhan, then Raghunath Das Goswami was enlivened and transported into ecstasy, and he got his life force back in his body. Rupa Goswami did that as a trick to keep Raghunath Das on the planet. Otherwise, in separation from the divine couple, he would surely give up his life. Then, in ecstasy, reading Don Kali Komadi, Raghunath Das Goswami wrote his Don Kali Chintamani, which is another remarkable book. And you cannot argue whose version is correct. Rupa's version and Don Kali Komadi, or Raghunath's Don Kali Chintamani, they're both considered to be complementary, although they're slightly different in outlook. And this choral pastime continues in Mukta Charita, this pearl pastime. Raghunath Das further goes on. But in this way, it's an example of how Rupa and Raghunath, they work together, taking advantage of each other's association to further their ecstasies, even though they are both suffering in separation from the divine couple and from Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And Vrindavan. So they, by each other's association, they managed to keep their life force. So, Sri Dasa Goswami Braje Rupa Sahakrishna Bhaje Manashiksha Shloka Likyache. In the company of Rupa Goswami in Vrindavan, then worshipping Krishna, Raghunath Das Goswami became inspired to write these verses. Manashiksha. So, Tahara Dasara Das Hoite Jar Boras E Bhakti Vinoda Akinshan. This servant of his servant, who is greatly so desirant to relish this nectar, the utsaha is very eager to go deep into this nectar. that Raghunath Das Goswami has given us, the materially desireless Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Ultimately, we have to become materially desirous if we want to really enter deeply into the nature of Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and these topics. Otherwise, we'll just simply skim the surface. Guru Govinda Maharaj used to like to say that we must dive deeply into the ocean of devotion. Otherwise, if we externally do so, then we'll simply be skimming the surface. On the surface of the ocean, there are many fish. That's all you'll get. You'll just get fish. You won't get the jewels that are the gems and jewels that are in the bottom of the ocean of devotion. One has to dive deep. In order to do so, one must become detached from this material world, from the material body, material enjoyments. One must gradually become detached. To that extent that we apply it, that extent will taste the fruit of realization. By application, we get realization. And by realization, we become inspired and we'll be able to give that Krishna consciousness to others. So, because our movement is for relishing and distributing nectar, therefore, if you would like to get a lot out of these verses, it's important to also remember the achara, the activities. An example of Raghunath Das, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and Rupa and Sanatana, etc., etc., when reading these verses, it gives you an idea. And for example, in Srimad Bhagavatam, there may be many verses that are very inspirational. Kunti Devi's prayers, etc., etc. So in order to really get a lot out of the verse in discussion, it's also important to note the person who spoke it. Like Kunti Devi, when she speaks the verse, it's sometimes good to go ahead of that, many verses before that, to understand the mood, her emotional mood, what brought her to say that. Or Bhishma Dev's mood, etc., or any of the speakers in Bhagavatam. What was their mood? What was the reason for speaking that verse so feelingly with love about Lord Krishna, etc., etc.? In this way, one enters into the verse. One should not try to externally enter into the verse. Try to go deep, deep into the verse. So understanding the nature of the mood and activities, when we understand that and take a kiran, take a ray of that, and try to apply it in our own life, then we taste some sweetness. We take a drop, a bindu, a drop of that sweetness. And to the extent that we apply it ourselves, you'll be able to get realizations when you read Prabhupada's books, and you'll be able to speak it and give it to other people. To the extent that you apply it yourself, to that much extent, you'll be able to taste it. And to the extent that you don't apply it, well, then it won't be pleasing to you. You'll become attracted to other things. So I hope that by chanting these verses, Mana Shiksha Bhasha Gai Jada Shuddha Bhakta Pai Doya Kori Korina Shaban. Please sing this commentary of Mana Shiksha, which is obtained from pure devotees, and just allow your ears to hear the same. Just listen to this conversation very nicely. So it's actually quite deep. The subject matter is quite deep. Now, what I always was attracted about shlokas was the more that they have alankaras, ornaments, then the more desirous their association is. You'll find this out with shloka number one. Shloka number one, you'll see that it's shloka number one, there are 8 points, ashtatattva, 8 different points of truths, which are mentioned in shloka number one. So because of that first verse, when you see that each one is extremely powerful, which should inspire you, then at least the mind becomes attached that, wow, how I would like to remember this verse, to quote it, to relish it, to give it to others, so it becomes an inspiration to memorize it. Don't let nectar go through one ear and out the other. It doesn't take much time to memorize something. It just takes a little practice to bring it from short-term memory to long-term memory by chanting it. So by learning how to sing the verses, the Phalashruti mentions here an ending. Look at the 12th verse. The end of the 12th verse. This is on page number 7. Manashaksha daika dasakavaramitam maduraya gira gayat yuchaya samadigata saravara tatatiya. Sayuta Sri Rupa Nuga Ihabhavana Gokula Vane Janorad Ha Krishna Tula Bhajana Ratnam Salabhite. Anyone who haven't taken shelter, Rupa Goswami and his direct followers, residing in Gokul, sing sweetly these 11 verses that instruct the mind with clear understanding of the purports of these texts, will certainly obtain the priceless gem of devotional service to Sri Sri Radha Krishna. Singing sweetly, uchai, it doesn't mean singing sweetly by yourself. Of course, tactfully, depending on how you live, with whom you live, you may have to sing them very privately to yourself or something. But generally, devotees have a very carefree heart, so you can sing it a little loud. At least I don't have any problem singing the verses loudly in the morning. You know, it's nice. Gira gayat uchai. It says uchai, it says loudly. So try to follow that. Samadhi gata, remembering what they mean. Then sarvarta tatiya. These verses carry all benefits to the reader. So because of that, therefore it's very nice to sing these verses on a daily basis. Along with shikshastak, like that. These verses are very powerful. So because of that, and this phalashruti, therefore, as part of my course, whether I teach it here or Russia or anywhere I teach this course, part of the program is every day we're going to sing these verses. All 12 of them. And afterwards, you may feel a little awkward if some of you are not into Sanskrit so much or like that. How many people are, raise your hand like that. You're not so much into verses, you're not so much. Anybody like that here? Fine. Huh? So we hope by the end of the courses, by hearing this every day, how we sing it, then the mind will become attached to it. Just simply by singing it, the mind will become attached to it. Every day, every day, every day. You can do the same with Ishopanishad, with Upadeshamrita. Every day, just sing it. Very quickly, your mind will become attached to it. It's a very good thing. So we're hoping that you will become attached. I know 3 different tunes for the bhajans too, so variety is the spice of life. So we better stop here a little bit. Our class is supposed to end in 2 minutes. So I'd like to mention that everyone should read, go ahead and read the introduction, which is basically follows the introduction of this bhajan pretty well. We just went over it. Raghunath Das Goswami's renunciation in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Leela chapter 6, as it describes further on and on, discussions with Swarup Damodar, descriptions of vairagya detachment, how it gives you an idea to what extent one has to apply. One should not try to be a sense gratifier in the name of devotional life. He says if you do so, you'll be neglected by Krishna. It mentions that. This is interesting in Antya 6, 225 specifically. It mentions there. And 227 has to be one of the heaviest verses about sense control and mind control. We'll be quoting some of those verses in relation to verse number 4, etc. Verse number 4 as we go along. Some of those specific verses of Chaitanya Charitamrita that are appropriate. In this way, I hope these 12 verses will give you a lot of inspiration for applying it in your life. And as you chant these every day and you remember what they say, it will guide you throughout your life, to the march to going back to home, back to God. They're very powerful. Okay, so is there any quick comments or questions?
This word Sanskrit term, what does it mean? The Manashisha in Sanskrit term, did class.
Sanskrit. Samskrita. Sam is together, and krita is it means proper culture. The language of proper culture. Sanskrita. Sat is eternal. And krita is to do. So to do the proper thing. Sanskrita means the proper culture, the proper behavior, the proper language. Sanskrita. That's what it means.
Diplad means, what another word, diplad.
Huh?
Diplad. I think this is an English word.
Clad. Clad means clad is to strike, to like when you're making a coin. It's another word. He did it for poetical reasons. My godbrother Chuttananda, when he translated, did it for poetical reasons. I mean, he wrote it. Cause it to become manifest. Cladding means like a striking, like you have a die, and a press comes and goes. Hits it and makes a coin, you know, presses a coin. By the press of his hand, he wrote these verses down. The force of his mind, he struck these verses on parchment, on bhojpatra, with saffron ink, you know, like that they write. So clad means to become manifest. It's just a metaphorical English word. Yes, Prabhu?
That doesn't mean clad is to dress up.
Huh?
Dress.
No, clad means in this case strike to make manifest. Clad like to clad a coin. Coin cladding. Cladding means we have a blank die, it goes in a machine, the machine strikes it, and it becomes pressed. And it takes the pressure of the coin, whatever it is, and then to mint a coin. Molding, right, to molding or to mint. Mint a coin, to mint a work. Cause a work to become manifest. It's another meaning. It's another meaning of the word clad. Any other thing? Okay, we better stop here. Thank you very much. We hope that you'll be enlivened to give us your good association. So tonight, read the introduction, read the first chapter.